Over the last few Sundays, and still again over the next few Sunday mornings to come, we have been and we will be looking at seven of the times when Jesus said something about who he was in John's Gospel, the ego eimi, or I am statements of Jesus. Last week, we were privileged to have our friends join from St. Mary's Cathedral and hear their provost, John Conway, lead us in an explanation of the statement, I am the Good Shepherd, the one who looks after his own. The week before that, Kat led us as we examined the I am the gate, or I am the door, the one who leads us into God. And the first week we were doing the series, I spoke about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, the one who gives us everything we need. This week, the halfway point through our series, we're looking at the statement of Jesus in chapter 8 of John's book about the life and teachings of Jesus. In that, Jesus says, I am the light. And we're immediately dealing with something different. It's a bit less concrete, and there are three of these I am statements which are a bit less concrete. The other two are I am the way, which Bill is going to speak to us about in a couple of Sundays, and I am the resurrection, which I'll speak on in to round out our series at the end of February. Next week, we'll have Lisa lead us and teach us all something about Jesus' saying, I am the vine. And if you've been counting, that actually leaves one week when we're going to stop and step away from our series for a Sunday on the 19th of February, as we'll have several special guests with us that day, including this year's General Moderator of the General Assembly, the Right Reverend Dr. Ian Greenshields. And he'll be preaching to us that morning, which is lovely, because he actually lives in the parish while he's the moderator. But this is Communion Sunday at Palmerston Place. And what is communion about if it's not about bread and wine? Should we not be talking about I am the bread or I am the vine, using one of those metaphors which Jesus used to describe something about himself? Wouldn't all that fit so much more neatly? And as you know, I like things to be neat. Perhaps on one level, but I also don't want to get too fixated on the physical things, on what we can see and touch, because Jesus isn't that limited. And I thought that if I was to be speaking this Sunday on either bread or wine, when we actually had bread and wine, gluten-free and alcohol-free respectively, sitting on the tables in front of me, it was the wrong thing to do. I think it risked limiting our understanding of what Jesus is saying about himself through the I am sayings to something which is just a bit too close to us. Before I say anything more about the I am the light, I just wanted to remind you that when someone says, I am, such as in my case, I am a Highlander, or I'm a Londoner, or I'm a human, it reveals something very fundamental to that person's understanding of their own identity. Something that they're willing to claim about themselves, something which they admit or claim is true. When you use the words, I am, it's when you're saying something that's about the very core of your being and your identity. It says something about what is most important to you and about you. So when Jesus says, I am, we should pay close attention. He's not just making conversation or a silly remark to gain attention. When Jesus says, I am, then Jesus is pulling back the curtain and revealing something which is fundamental to who Jesus is. It's very important. It's significant. It tells us something profoundly important and something we don't want to miss. So, I am the light. This should be a life-changing phrase. Something that helps you see life for what it is, and also thereby see Jesus for who he is. It says that following Jesus is more than tagging along behind him. It means following him for who he is, being so taken with him that you join yourself to him. But only in doing that, only then do you have enough light to see clearly and be able to see everything. And notice that when you follow him, you have him. You have him as the light of life. As he said, I am the light. Whoever follows me will have the light. So you will have me, he says, as your light. If you follow me, you have me. The I am will be yours. You notice the last phrase in verse 12, which says to the person that will follow him, "You will have the light of life." So what is the connection between light and life? Well, John gives us that answer elsewhere in his book. And actually, he gives it right up front at the very start of his book. So this is just harking back to that as a reminder to the reader. Because in the first chapter of John's book about Jesus at verse 4, John writes about Jesus, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The life that gives light. The life Jesus has and the life he shares with those who follow him gives them light. That is, we are dead and blind to the light until the life of Jesus is given to us by God. And then we have light, and then we can see. Just as Darth Vader didn't know he was evil and didn't understand how dark he was until someone helped him find that light. The eyes of our hearts are opened, and the divine light streams into everything that goes into making us up as to who we are. It is in Jesus that we can get this light of life, the light that comes from new, spiritual, eye-opening life, the life that gives sight to the blind soul, eternal life-giving sight. But the phrase doesn't stop at, "I am the light." It goes on and is expounded by Jesus, for what he says is, "I am the light of the world." Now, what does "of the world" mean? Sadly, we know that the whole world was not and is still not being lightened by the love of Jesus, at least not yet. In fact, he says, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness," which means that if we don't follow him, we do walk in darkness. And where is that darkness? Well, it's in the world, and it's in us. It's in our hearts and our minds. So being the light of the world doesn't mean removing all darkness from the world as he walks through the world. Here's what I think it means. Firstly, Jesus being the light of the world means the world has no other light, spiritual light that is, obviously. We have the sun and we have candles and we have light bulbs, but aside from Jesus, we have no other spiritual light or guidance other than that which we have in him. There is only one light. And if there's going to be any light for the world, it will be Jesus. It is Jesus or darkness. There's no third alternative. There's no other light. So secondly, it means, therefore, that all the world and everyone in it needs Jesus as their light. And if they don't have that, they're choosing, either intentionally or just simply through not knowing, they're choosing to live in darkness. Thirdly, it also means that this world was made for this light. It's not an alien light, something different to what we are and what we were made to be part of, a perfect world and not spoiled by wrongs against God. This light is the light of the owner and creator of the world. When this light comes, it not only makes sense of all the areas of the world that are not as God wants them, it makes those things out to be out of place and ugly. But it also makes everything good in the world shine with its true and full beauty. This world was made to be lit up by that light. This light of Christ is a natural part of the world when the world was perfect, and it is still a better version of the fallen world which we endure until Christ returns, when we will benefit from his light. Fourthly, and finally, Jesus being the light of the world means that one day this world will be filled with his light once more, fully, more fully than it is with sunlight, and all the darkness, all the works of darkness, all the children, all the offspring, all the darkness will be defeated. In that day, all will be light. Jesus, the radiance of the Father, will fill the world, and everything will be beautiful with the light of Christ. In these glorious ways, Jesus is the light of the world. If you follow him now, you will have him as your light in advance of that great day. True, he will reveal your sins, the things that you do that you're not proud of and that he doesn't like. And that's not comfortable, but it is actually a precious gift. It may not be a gift we want, but it is a worthwhile one. It's perhaps like the fortunate early diagnosis of cancer. It is something that is good to know and be able to get it fixed, but it's deeply unsettling nonetheless. But even more so, when we have wronged God, Jesus' light will reveal all that is beautiful. And there is so much within each of us that is beautiful. With inside every person on this planet, there is so much that is beautiful. Let's wrap this up. Basically, he, Jesus, is and will be the light in which you see God, the light in which you see the history of redemption at work, and the light in which you see the rescuing work of salvation, which Jesus achieves for those who follow and believe in him, and believe what he claims about himself, and what he did for humanity in bringing us back to God. We can access all that through the light of the world that is our God and our Jesus. Amen.